Welcome to the V-Wave Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by River Runners for Wilderness and is created by a cast of river lovers who understand the river resource comes first. On the shoulders of a healthy river do we recreate ourselves. What comes second is river access, a very thorny V-Wave, all in itself. The V-Wave discusses these things and river ecology, recent river trips, river history, river management, and new changes on rivers. Have a topic you'd like to hear more about or help discuss? Get in touch with me, your host, Tom Martin, at rrfw.org. That's T-O-M-M-A-R-T-I-N at rrfw.org. Special thanks to Shar and Trev, who came up with this idea. Welcome to tonight's V-Wave podcast. Today is February 8th, 2024, and the podcast tonight is with Adam Hopkins and James Tansey. And Adam and James just completed a 14-day river trip through the Grand Canyon in January into early February. So this is a winter trip when the trips can be 30 days long, but these gents only took 14 days, and they're going to tell us why that happened and how they did it. And so welcome, Adam and James. How are you guys tonight?
We're great. Thanks for having us.
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Gosh, thanks for participating. So Adam, was this your permit?
Yeah, we applied in November for a follow-up lottery.
Okay.
And this particular lottery, for whatever reason, it was mainly only January dates, and it seemed like half of the dates in January were available. James and I and two other buddies applied for some permits. Actually, three of us won a permit, believe it or not, and my date happened to work out the best for everybody in the group, so that's the one we went with.
Okay. And what was your launch date?
It was January the 22nd.
Okay. And so this was in November that you were notified you had won this permit.
Yes.
December, right. January. Okay, so you've got about 6, 7, 8 weeks?
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
To pull this off. Okay. Adam, have you been down the Colorado River and Grand Canyon before?
Yes, this is actually my seventh time of actually going down the river.
Okay.
And I guess I'll talk a little bit like how my history started and like embarrassing things that I said. Like, I went to the Grand Canyon. My wife and I don't go to the beach on vacation. We go to national parks.
Okay.
We were passing through the Grand Canyon as one of the national parks we were hitting on a little tour that we were hitting that particular vacation. And we stopped at the rim, checked all the sites out, stopped at all the points, and I had a good time, but it was just overrun with tourists and buses and people feeding the squirrels, and it just was not my scene for a national park. And I looked at my wife when we left and I said, hey, Grand Canyon was cool and all, the view was awesome, but I'll probably never come back to this park again. And
seven trips now, later.
Yeah, exactly. My buddy Kevin won a permit. Was it like
2016?
Yeah, 2016. He won a permit. Self-support kayak. I was teaching and I had my own business at the time, and it just worked out that he won the permit during the spring break and I only had to miss a week of work, and it just worked out. And I went to the Grand Canyon and fell in love, man. I lost a piece of my soul down there that I hope I never find. You know
nice.
What I mean?
Yeah. James, how many, was this your first trip in the canyon?
No. So this was my sixth trip. My first trip was with Adam back in 2016, and we've been able to just full permits ever since then.
Nice. So are both you guys kayakers?
Yes. Since James, I've been kayaking for 22 years now.
Okay.
And I've been kayaking for, I want to say, I guess 14 years, something like that.
Okay. And what are your rivers of what's your local rivers that you spend a lot of time on?
The Caney Fork. It's probably my favorite. It's like a remote wilderness run, probably 8-9 miles of class, continuous class 4. There's probably 30-something rapids on that run.
Wow.
It's hard to access. because of the shuttle road, and you know, typically if your group is out there, you're the only other group you're going to see all day. And so that one, North Chick, Cane Creek.
In the south, we really do have a good selection for whitewater just because of the storms that come through. So some of the big rivers that you're probably familiar with, like the Ocoee River, is pretty close and popular.
Okay.
We'll go after the Nantahala River, and because they have the easier section for newer kayakers, and then you can go up to the steeper sections where they have class 5 sections and class 4 sections. And,
okay.
The Caney Fork is really a just premier whitewater run that we have here in Tennessee.
So the trip that you guys did in 2016 was a self-support kayak trip. Did you guys do a self-support on this trip in January?
Sort of. And that's kind of what we've seen, how our trip's going to deviate from others. So we did rent rafts. We did use inflatables for this trip. But we incorporated the self-support style for our food prep to complete this trip.
Okay. So basically, what size rafts did you have?
We had 2 18-foot NRS rafts.
Okay. And how many people were on the trip?
4 total.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's a nice group. Yeah.
As far as, like, the food prep, to go into that a little bit more, we dehydrate our own meals. Typically, the book Lip Smacking Backpacking, it's got a bunch of recipes you pull from there and then just stuff you find online. And then we just basically do all the food prep on the front end in the kitchen so that we spend as little time in the Grand Canyon messing with food, getting meals prepared so that we can do things we want to do. And even the way that we eat our meals, like all of them we have like insulated thermoses that are wide mouth at the top with deep, like long spoons, so we can take dinner on a trail and eat dinner wherever we want to eat dinner.
Nice.
So we're not bound by the kitchen duties at all.
That's huge. That saves a ton of time.
A ton of time.
Yeah. And fortunately, my wife is a saint. She lets us run all these dehydrators for about a week or two prior if we have everything prepped and, you know, make the house smell like chili or whatever it is we're making. Mm-hmm.
And the dehydrators, isn't it like vacuum pack that? How does that work out?
Yes, we have a couple food savers. So once we dehydrate it, we'll determine, you know, based on, you know, how much meat we dehydrate and what the weight is when it's dry, that's going to make so many meals. So then we'll weigh that out into vacuum sealed bags and then seal them up.
Okay. So this sounds like an iceless trip.
Yeah, we are actually known by the outfitter as the trip with no ice.
Nice.
Yeah, they couldn't believe it, and you know what I mean. They're like, "You sure you don't want a cooler?" I'm like, "I don't want the weight. Just keep the coolers dry. They're just food blockers for us." You know, the battle with the mice from our first Grand Canyon trip, like having a plastic box, I don't have to worry about the mice chewing my food. Is
huge.
It's a big deal because the first trip we went down there, the mice were savages.
This was in 2016.
2016. They were absolutely the worst.
Okay.
So it was, you fired up a jet boil and it was like a mating call.
Wow.
you didn't mess with them.
Okay. Because the mice in December of 2023. We're notorious. I mean, just they're everywhere. They're underfoot. They're on the tables. They're on the dishes. They're just crawling all over everything. They're all around the campfire when you're sitting around the fire.
Yep.
Really,
we had a few
amazing
pop in and out.
Okay.
And you know, on this trip, but again, like it just seems that with the self-support kayaking trips that we've done out there, it seems like the mice have been worse. The mice have been worse, but we don't ever. You would figure it'd be better self-support kayaking because you don't have a full kitchen with tables and food and everything laid
right
out. But that's just, I mean, we were camped at Nakaweep in that camp in the big eddy, you know, like before, like main Nakaweep.
The upper camp. Yeah, in the big eddy, yeah.
Yep, we were camped there, and like, I think I counted 7 mice on top of one of my buddy's boot bags.
Okay.
Like that he had in a watershed, and I was like, dude, you got to wake up and do something with your food right now or you're going to have it destroyed. Like, it was unbelievable. One of them, my buddy fell asleep in a chair, and literally a mouse was on his shoulder
Wow.
while he was sleeping.
Okay.
So,
Yeah. Did you get a picture of that? I'd love to see a picture.
I wish. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Huh. So with two coolers with no ice, just full of food, I would think that your ability to keep the mice at bay would be... I mean, did you guys bring any fruit? Did you have any crates?
All the fruit that I ate was dry.
Yeah.
Okay. And so everything was in those coolers.
Everything. Well, we had, I had an extra like Canyon cooler, whatever brand, it's kind of like a Yeti knockoff.
And yeah, yeah.
We had like all the junk food. So Little Debbie snacks, cereal, you know, any, you know, all the candy, trolley worms, whatever you wanted was like, that was a sweets cooler, but yeah.
Okay. So you had three coolers then. And that was where your food was. Where did you put your trash?
We had on each raft, it was they gave us six rocket boxes, and we had like two that were empty, and we had a third that had like personal gear that we were able to shift over once we needed to bust into that one. But,
okay.
But you know, us doing self-supported food the way we did, we really just didn't have that much trash.
We had, okay. I think it was like, it come out to like two of the rocket boxes full of trash for four people for 2 weeks.
And did you have a fire pan? Were you doing fires?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and
yeah,
so...
Yeah, and we use those, the pop-up pit where it's got the screen mesh on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, there is... We just do a good job of making sure whatever is in the fire is piled up on top of each other when we go to bed, and, like, it's literally just paper ash. You know, there's no charcoal left.
Got it.
All of it's completely burnt down to nothing.
And you just put that in a rocket box, there's not much in there.
That's right, yeah.
And the other thing is that pop-up pit is so light compared to some of the, like, commercial fire pans that we've seen used out there.
Okay.
And, I mean, we've used them on self-support. You can split them up with people on the raft. It takes up really no space.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. So you guys were on a 30-day to Pierce Ferry option. How many days did you use, and what were the constraints you were facing with that?
We did it on 14 days. Myself and one of the other guys, we both had jobs, so the constraint was management approval. But
yeah, okay.
That's what we're working in.
And 14 days to Diamond?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife was, you know, hit with, we have two kids and I got a business, and she was hit with, hey, I just got a permit, and we're going in 2 months. So the shorter... the easier it is for her to swallow, because it's a lot to deal with, and, you know, it's a sacrifice for her to make for me to be able to have the time to go out here and do this. So
Adam, where is she going to go when you take care of the kids and the business?
I think she's going to Scotland with her friend Chelsea. So,
oh, good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair trade.
No, it's, yeah, hey, if we decided a long time ago we're not going to make each other miserable. If it's important to you, then it's important to me, and, you know, we just try to make it work.
Lovely. That's very nice. Okay, so 6 and 7 trips. The trips that you've done in the past, have they all been self-support kayak? Or when did you break into the self-support rafting?
The first and second trip were self-support kayak. James actually won the permit for the second trip.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And we did 11 days to Diamond on that trip.
Okay.
And my brother, he had saw me go down to Grand Canyon. I brought back all the photos and showed it to him. And he was like, dude, that looks so cool. And I was like, dude, it's the coolest thing I've ever done. And he was like, well, I want to go. But he's not a kayak. So I said, well, you win a permit, and then we'll take rafts. And you get to decide what vessels we take on the river. We'll take rafts, and I'll push you down it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actually on my second trip, camped at Schist Camp, and I'm... Ben reached my wife and said, hey, the lottery results were released today. Did I win a permit? And she texted me back and said, no, you did not. And I was like, bummer, you know. And then 10 minutes later, I got another message on the internet. She said, but your brother did. so the third trip down was my brother's permit, and that was the first time. We made the mistake of doing the full kitchen with the full meal plan from the outfitter.
Okay.
And I'm saying, some people may enjoy cooking and doing dishes. I'm in the Grand Canyon to hike and to run whitewater and to see things that I haven't seen before. And, you know, I just, again, it was cool having some nice meals some nights, but by the end of that trip, I was like, I'm never, ever missing a hike in the Grand Canyon because I have to do dishes ever again. So, well, the fourth trip was Nick's trip.
Yeah, we went back in 2020 right before COVID kicked off and did another self-support trip.
Okay.
And then...
And so the third trip, the full-on kitchen, all that stuff, how long was that trip?
20 days to Pierce.
Okay.
Yep.
And then the fourth one?
The second portion of that. I hiked in at down the Kaibab to Phantom and the second two weeks.
Cool. And then the fourth trip? Length?
That was our self-support trip in January 2020.
And that was 14 days.
Okay. So that's the first time you guys are experienced in that kind of time frame, in that kind of the year, meaning January, the days are short, the nights are long, and you have to complete your mileage to get the diamond, and you've got 13 nights, 14 days to do it.
We actually went to Pierce on that trip.
Yeah, that was the only kayak trip we've done to Pierce.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so trip number four was kayak.
Yes. Right.
Okay. And you guys are having to make 20-mile days, 25-mile days?
Oh, we did several 30-mile days.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it was freezing cold in on that trip.
Okay.
The fifth trip I did.
That was the trip that I missed.
Yeah, that was the one that James missed. One of my brother's friends that we took down the Grand Canyon that had never been on whitewater before won a permit in October, and we went in October of 2021.
Okay.
And then...
Was that also like a fast 14-day kind of thing?
That was a 21-day trip. Right? No.
Y'all did a long one for that.
Yeah, I think that was a 21-day trip.
To Diamond or Pierce?
Pierce.
Okay.
And then, my brother's trip was a 21-day to Pierce. Neither of us went to the Grand Canyon in 2022.
That was the Middle Fork year. We went back in 23.
Yeah, we went to the Middle Fork in 2022, and then 2023, a fellow kayaker friend of ours had some buddies that won a permit, and it was a 16-day trip to Diamond.
What time of year?
That was in March.
March the 18th?
Okay.
Was it his or Emily's birthday?
Okay.
Yeah.
So early March is when we launched for that trip. And that was 16 days at Diamond. That was a raft trip, but they took my advice and basically said, you got the most experience down here out of anybody, so how would you run this trip? And I was like, self-support food, eat when you want to eat, eat what you want to eat. And
that was a really great group because it was a split like in the age gap between the guys. So we had some older guys and some younger guys, but like all these guys came from this Tennessee paddling group that we have called TSRA, the Tennessee Scenic River Association. So,
okay.
You know, everybody's familiar with each other, but it's really cool to see that variety of folk out there experiencing the canyon and, you know, what you're able to do at different levels. So that was a great trip.
So help me out so I understand this a little bit. Coming from the school of, here's the kitchen, this is where the dishes are going to be, we're going to heat up the dishes after we, you know, cook, and we're going to have cook teams, and we're going to have lunch, and we're going to have breakfast, and blah, 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 the whole deal. Do you guys, is each person responsible for their own meals?
Correct. That's it. Yeah.
Okay, so everybody brings their own stove, or do you all share a stove?
I mean, we bring our own stoves just for redundancy and backup, but a lot of times, like James and I'll look up at camp, and like if you're boiling food, you're just pouring water in the pot and keep it rolling for the next guy to pour in his thermos. And
got it.
You know, like we did some stuff on this trip, it was pretty good, where we like combined our tents and chairs and bags and combined all our kitchen stuff in one bag. So we didn't have two separate bags we're messing with. We had one community bag. You know, the less time you spend snapping up bags and rolling them up and clipping them away, the faster you can get on the water, and it just worked out.
Right. So you're able to save time in breaking down camp, setting up camp.
Exactly. Yeah.
And camp chores. I mean, you need a shitter. You got to have to bring that anyway, and that's pretty quick
that's
to
right.
set up and take down. So there's not a whole rush there. But you don't need many of them if you only got a 14-day trip and four people.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I think we used two.
Yeah, two and like.
Yep.
Yeah, plenty okay. of room. So.
Yep. Yep. Okay. What other? I don't want to use the word tricks, because what other things are you doing to minimize your camp chore time and maximize your exploration time?
The group bags that Adam was just talking about that was probably one of the biggest improvements from the prior trips, just to minimize the amount of back and forth between the camp to the boat and what gear you're hauling. That was a huge swing. I think the other thing that was nice was, because we had the space, my personal bag, I was able to carry, my personal hiking clothes. So if we got to spots like Nankweep, it was easy to get out of the dry suit real quick, put your hiking shoes on, and just go. There was very little delay, and had to un-rig and dig through everything. So that kind of made things move quicker.
Right, and if you're waiting for the slowest person, and there's only four people, chances are your wait is not going to be long. If you're waiting for 16 people and you have to wait for the slowest person, you may be waiting a while.
That's right,
no doubt.
Yeah, and like the person with the least amount of trips on this trip was three. So
okay,
everybody had experience. Everybody knew what to expect, and it was easy. No fighting, no bickering.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down at camp at night. You go over to the here's our itinerary for tomorrow. Here's where we want to hike. Here's what we want to look at. Here's our best case scenario camp. Here's our worst case scenario camp, and just do it all over again the next time.
Okay. So what was...
I did want to talk a little bit more about speed and we found a way to rig our boats to where there was a hatch in the front. First off, I was used to paddling a raft with two people in the front. And
okay.
then on this trip, James got out and kayaked some of the bigger rapids.
Okay.
And so I'm in the raft all by myself.
Hmm.
And on the first, when I ran House Rock, I hit the first top wave, and it was expecting the raft just to kind of bully through it like it normally does, and it just completely rejected me. So we had to repack the raft, get all the weight up front, and then
right.
we had it packed in such a way that one hatch pretty much never got opened.
Yeah.
And then the only bags we had to strap down was we had one strap that went through three bags, and then one other bag in the back that you had to strap down. So the only thing in the back of the boat of our raft was literally just that extra cooler I told you about,
mm-hmm.
and then one bag strapped to the beaver board on the bottom. So it looked like our raft was empty.
Wow. Okay. Huh. And so what was in your front hatch then?
Front hatch, we had two propane. Those little fire pits that people make out of ammo cans?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I made some of those. So we used those some nights instead of in lieu of a fire just because we didn't want to deal with the hassle. It's easy just to hook up a propane line and wipe that thing and go,
mm-hmm.
Right. So we had, some propane tanks in the front hatch, the major repair kit, the major medical kit, all
okay.
the stuff that you hope you never, ever need to touch.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So all that kind of stuff is in the front hatch, is, Legoed in there and Tetris in there the best you can. And, again, you just ram it all in there, and hopefully you can get your boat situated to where you do not have to mess with that hatch anymore.
Right.
And that's what we did. And it was just loading the boats, that other hatch that was open, we just threw all our bags in there and then strapped the straps down. And, actually, once you got everything in your bags, we could rig the boat in 5-10 minutes and be ready to row.
Right. All right. Very cool. What other time-saving things did you do?
Man, the big one that I focused on this trip was I tried to not keep a lot of stuff in my tent. So, I never kept any food around, my personal gear, so I wasn't worried about, critters trying to eat through my bags. But for me, all I really kept in my tent was going to be thermoid wear, my dry suit, and, maybe a down jacket, just very minimal. That way, when I'd wake up, I put my thermal in the sleeping bag, warm it up immediately, and put it on and get in the dry suit. So I'm stepping right out into the suit and tearing the tent down and, not walking around and drinking coffee and trying to warm up and then going to change and then finally breaking the tent down, just trying to hit it all in one
seamless motion.
Got it. Okay.
Man, another time-saving tip is our lunches, the way we do our lunches, is typically it's like a protein bar, like a liquid IV, beef jerky, a cheese stick, and, you know, if you're really hungry that day, you can go get a peanut butter and jelly tortilla out of the cooler real quick. And so, like, typically our lunches, everyone on the trip agreed to make lunches no cook. You know, you stuff it in front of your life jacket and go hiking up wherever you want to go hike to go eat lunch. So lunch, we never stopped to eat lunch. You just ate lunch on the go, always.
Okay. On this trip you just completed, what was your longest mileage day?
32?
Yes. Yeah, 32 miles.
Yeah, 32 miles.
Where did you run from where to where?
Oh, my God, man. The first day we did 29.5. We went all the way down to Silver Grotto. And then that 32-mile day, that was after Lava, wasn't it? That was from...
I forgot where it was.
I feel like it was the float that we did to Tuck Up Canyon. And I can't remember where we stayed the night before.
Yeah, it was Deer Creek, right?
Was it where it was? I'll have to check the miles, but yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
What's Deer Creek to Tuck Up? How many miles is that?
Was it 28 miles, 29?
Yeah, I don't have my guide with me right now. I'm just kind of off the top of my head. It's like 136, and then 140, you go past 150 mile, you're heading to Tuck Up. Wait a minute.
Yep. I think Tuck Up is 65,
past
165.
Yeah. Past Havasu, you're still above national. Yeah, okay. So that's a good long day. And I'm assuming that you didn't.
Day and the first day was a huge day too.
Yeah, getting off the beach at Lees and getting all the way down to Silver Grotto in one day is a pretty, you know, it's your first day and you're going to be as slow as you're going to be.
And you ran the Roaring Twenties. I mean, that's a long big water day.
Yeah, that's
an awesome section.
Yeah.
No, we did the 32-mile day was from Granite to, that's when we ran all that whitewater, the gyms and all that stuff that day. Where did we run to?
We went to Fossil.
Okay, Granite to Fossil, that's a long run.
It was huge because we went past Blacktail.
Right.
Yeah.
And made it all the way to Fossil.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, 32-mile day was, from Granite down to below Fossil. I think we did below Fossil, right?
Yeah, because Fossil, it looked like there had been a lot of erosion there.
Yes, yeah. So, and then there was what's the canyon on the left? There used to be a camp there, but there's no longer a camp there right above Fossil.
Oh, I've seen that.
We were going to camp there because it was in an old guidebook, but the camp is no longer in this new edition.
Sorry, right above where?
Right above Fossil.
Maybe Forrester.
Forrester, does that sound
Yeah, right? I think we, yeah, Forrester.
That's it.
It's up a pretty, pretty steep climb. And Dwayne was like, we're taking it out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Did you camp there at Forrester?
We had the sixth edition of your book that showed the camp, and then I had the eighth edition. So one guy's like, well, we can go to this camp, and we're like, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Because we were looking at the day hike books or whatever from the Grand Canyon, and we were planning on doing like hiking up in that canyon that night, and we just went on by, and we're like, no, this does not look like an option right now. So we just went on down.
Yeah, good. All right. Simple enough. And I'm assuming on your big mile days, you didn't do any hiking. You were basically focused on the miles and making them.
No, we stopped at Shimano.
Shinimo?
Yeah, it comes out of Bass.
Okay,
by Bass.
Yep.
And then we also stopped at Elf Chasm, of course.
Okay.
That day. Is that it?
I think that's the only two.
I think that's the only two stops that day.
So what time are you typically getting on the water, and what time are you typically getting off the water?
We try and launch at like 9:30 in the morning, and we would get to camp some days around 3:30. I think we had a couple where we were pulling in late around 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had some long days.
Okay. All right. Excellent. guys are making some big miles and actually doing some exploring as well, getting out and walking around a little bit.
Yeah, we, if you want to hit the highlights of, like, what we hiked and what we did.
Yeah.
Because, like, I guess the main focus is obviously hit some of our favorite spots that we see on the river. But also, we were really focused on trying to get some new hikes and experience some new camps this trip. And
okay, good.
That was the priority, was try to do something new instead of something that we've already done over again. You know
cool.
what I mean?
Yes.
So we went. So day one, we made it to camp and we hiked.
We went into the Silverado that night.
Yep. And then day two, we did South Canyon and hiked around in there for a little while. And then we went to
Red Wall for a second.
Yeah, Red Wall for a second. I think we passed Nautiloid.
We did.
And then we went to Eminence. Was that the second day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, second day we went to Eminence Camp.
Okay.
And then that night, we hiked up that path from Eminence up to that overlook where you can see the big horseshoe view and, like, President Harding Rapid and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, so we did that at night.
Yeah, we did that. We walked. We went back up even further, probably maybe 45 minutes or so before we turned back.
Yeah. And finished that hiking headlamps. And then the next day, what's after that, dude?
So that was Eminence.
Buck Farm, went down to Nankweep.
Yep.
Yeah, we went to Nankweep. Hiked the Granny Ridge real quick. Did that. That's a must stop. And then from there, we went down to, you know, Little Colorado. And it was as blue as I've ever seen it.
Mm. Yeah, it was really
beautiful.
Pretty.
And then let's see, from there we went down, and that's where we stashed a boat at
Carbon.
Yeah, Carbon, and then we floated down to Lava Canyon to stage for our hike the next day.
Yeah, we were just going to camp at Carbon and then kind of like stash the raft and then go down to Lava Canyon and hike back to it the next day. There was a party already camped at Carbon.
Okay.
We asked them permission to leave a boat on the beach. They were like, what are you doing?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So
cool.
We left the boat on the beach, went down the lava that night, slept, and then woke up that next morning pretty early, got everything packed up, and then hiked around the canyons with our life jackets and went back to Lava Canyon the next morning. So that was a new loop that we had done that we did on this trip.
Very
and
nice.
That was awesome. That was, and we... In my opinion, we hike it the correct way, where I think it's better to hike it from Lava Canyon to Carbon
mm-hmm.
than go from Carbon to Lava Canyon, in my opinion.
Because?
Yeah, there's two steep sections in the Carbon Canyon. If you're doing the loop from Lava to Carbon, when you're coming down Carbon, you come to this giant waterfall. It must be.
Right.
70 feet taller, so there's a giant rock fall, and you have to go down on the right side of that.
Correct. Creek left, yeah.
And that was, it was steep, but it was fine going downhill, and climbing up that would have been pretty tough. And I don't really remember anything else being terribly hard other than that, but, you know, it was more boulder climbing up. We're going up the Lava Canyon, which was very smooth, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool.
You want to tell them?
And then from there, did you run to Granite that day?
No, that night. Okay, so from there, the group that was at Carbon, we talked to them once we finished that hike.
Hmm.
And what we were planning to do the next day was we were looking to go to Neville Canyon because the Ranger Jen had told us that's a great hike. The guy who had driven us up from the outfitter both has recommended go do Neville if you hadn't done it yet.
75 miles. Yeah, okay.
And a group at Carbon was saying, well, they're going to camp there. So, okay, well, maybe we'll go to Rattlesnake instead.
Okay.
Haven't been to Rattlesnake. Apparently, there's this hike called the Tabernacle. We'll check it out.
Cool.
So, we left that day. We went down to the Tanner, like, rapid area, and that was actually the first time that we've hiked up in there. We've actually missed that, but we saw the birthing chair, and that was very cool. Mm. So,
okay,
it was the first stop for that one. From there, we went down to Cardenas and hiked up to Uncar, and we watched just a pretty crazy rainstorm come through. And that's one of the storms that dumped a lot of snow up on the rim while we were out there. But some of those squalls blew through pretty quick. Did that hike, and then we wound up finishing up at Rattlesnake that night.
Okay. And then, and did you hike the tabernacle the next morning then?
We did. Yeah, okay. We, at that point, because we'd done 30 miles on the river, we, on the first day and the time that we had covered, we pretty much had a layover day in the back. So we decided that Rattlesnake and that hike to the tabernacle would be a great opportunity to burn that layover day because it's something new, a camp we hadn't been at, and the hike seemed pretty awesome. So,
nice. Okay.
So, yeah.
And you guys must have been passing like every other trip down there. Did you get passed by anybody?
No.
No, we got passed at the very end of the trip by some self-support kayakers.
Okay.
Yeah, that is right. That's the only trip that passed us. We the first 3 days, I want to say, we didn't see anybody until we actually saw that the people at Carbon.
Yeah.
That was the first group we saw. So...
There's a second group that was at Cardenia's, and they passed us the next day while we were doing the tabernacle hike.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we did Rattlesnake. So then from Rattlesnake, I believe, is when we went to Granite.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And I think the only the stop we had that day was...
Just Phantom.
Just Phantom. No, we stopped at that little Trinity Creek thing off of after Horn, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
That was a very cool hike.
Yeah, that was a cool hike. That was an awesome hike. So we so from Rattlesnake we did to Granite, but we did the we obviously did the Phantom Ranch thing, sent the postcards out to the loved ones, and where is it? At Trinity Creek. Yeah, at 90 mile 92, we stopped there and hiked up there, and that was a pretty cool little short, relatively short hike where you get narrowed in a little bit. It's a cool little canyon.
Yep.
Granite was, we camped at Granite. That's the first time I've ever camped there. That campsite's awesome. I love the cottonwood trees there. We didn't do any hiking that night because we were just tired, man.
Okay, yep.
And then we ran from Granite. Now, did we do any hikes that day?
Granite to Fossil? Is that your run for the day? That's a long day.
I believe that's right, because we ran Crystal and all the big ones, and then through the gyms.
Yeah, we did Granite all the way to the Fossil. Yeah, below Fossil.
Below Fossil, okay.
Yep, Granite to below Fossil. And, again, that day we hiked Shimano Wash. Did I say that correct?
Yeah, Shinamu, sure.
And then we did the Elk Chasm.
Yep.
And okay. I'm sitting here. So what did we do? So that was the next day. We did, we stopped at that little waterfall right above Bedrock.
Okay, on the right. Cool.
On the right, yeah. That's a really pretty, super easy, super short hike.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth stopping and stretching your legs before you go run Bedrock. Yeah, so we went down, and then we just went out to Deer Creek that day, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then we hiked Deer Creek that day, obviously, and then we filtered water. That's another thing we do. I don't know if we just had a bogus pump from the outfitter, but for whatever reason, the Platypus gravity bags work the best.
Okay.
And it has worked in the dirtiest water ever down in the Colorado forest. As long as you backflow your filters like you're supposed to, and that, especially if you tap on the filters as you backflow them, it does an extra good job of getting that stuff out, and those filters will last forever.
Cool.
So, and another tip is get the largest liter bag you can afford, because the bigger the bag, the less you have to mess with it. So I'd recommend at least 4 liters.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they have an 8 liter is the biggest option. Those are solid, though.
Okay.
What else? So that was, then we went from Deer Creek.
So did you guys like just go up to the patio, or did you actually go further up than that?
No, we just went to the patio and just hung out there.
Okay.
We've done the loop in the past, but we were kind of tight on time for this, and since we'd done that before, we were shooting for new hikes. That was one we just opted to not do the full thing on.
Okay, cool.
So I think we did Deer Creek to Tuck Up. And then, so that means we stopped at Matt Cat and Havasu that same day.
Yep.
We've hiked all the way up to Beaver Falls and stuff, so we weren't too pressed on, you know, making it up there again. We just kind of went to Havasu, saw some blue water, and just kept it moving. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you'd already been up to Beaver Falls prior to this trip. So
yeah, actually, I think three times I've hiked up there.
Okay.
I've only done it one time. It was on the fourth trip on the self-support kayaking trip.
Okay.
So, yeah, that we ended up at Tuckup.
Right.
And we hiked pretty far up Tuckup. I mean,
it felt like it until you looked at the GPS.
Yeah.
You know, you make it up past that first little rock jam that's maybe, I don't know, it's like two steer series, and then we cut back a little ways, but it was probably 6 o'clock at night by that time.
Okay.
We were kind of constrained on that, but we talked to another group that went really far back up in there, so that one's still on the radar.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's a way to get to the rim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots to do up there, so.
We so the next morning the first hike was Fern Glen.
Okay.
And then
that one is just one of my favorites. We stop every time, and I just love going up in there.
Cool.
Yeah, it's short, easy.
Right.
Which one is that one, James?
You did the Lower Cove pull off and walked up into that canyon a little ways too.
Okay.
At 175.
Where was that canyon with the hallways?
That was at like 193 and a half ish.
Okay. So we stopped at Lower Cove and then.
The lava?
Yeah, we ran lava and then camped at Tequila Beach.
Okay.
And then.
Yeah, that timed out well too. They had us running lava at like 2 in the afternoon and being at camp at 2:30.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep. And lava looked like lava. You just, you know, line it up at the right spot and hope the wave don't crash on you. So.
Yeah. Good.
Where else? So we didn't do any hiking. We
did a lot of mileage that day.
Yeah, but we stopped at was it Whitmore?
Yeah, to go look at the peach grass.
Yeah, we stopped at Whitmore that day.
Okay.
And then
it was in this area, maybe in the page, maybe that one.
And it's either 193.3 or maybe 100 and. I don't know what canyon it is. There was an awesome canyon.
I believe it was this one. It was 193. We need to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wish I had your book. But, yeah, there was an awesome short hike we did on another canyon that we had stopped at before, and it just went to, this looked like, I don't like Lord of the Rings type of gateway entry into a canyon, and then you kind of entered that little narrows, and then it cut hard right, and then it was just like, you could tell it was like a dramatic, you know, looked like a waterfall. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
Then we went to Parashant, and man,
so Parashant was, when we were riding up with the outfitter, you know, we were trying to get beta on different new hikes to do, and we were just told, this is the one that you have to do, you can't miss it. We've hiked up Parashant before to see the Book of Worms, but they were, you know, pushing that, you gotta go really far. And then we got to the put-in, and we were getting checked out by the ranger. She had the same feedback. You've got to go up in the Parashant. If you're going to have one day for a layover, make that the one.
Okay.
So we actually did not get Parashant. We camped
below Parashant.
Yep. In the upper part of that beach where there's like a tight eddy we were able to pull in, and we did that hike that next day.
That was the one thing that I would not do again on this trip.
That was not the easiest day we had.
Run that past me again. What would you not do?
Hike up Parashant.
Okay.
And as far as we did.
Okay.
Looking for some narrows. We found it wide at one point, and we went left, and we saw some cool little...
Like a waterfall.
Yeah, like a little waterfall in there. There was no water running, but it tells like a cool little area. And then we went back and cut back right, and went, I don't know how far we went up there, but...
I think we timed it, like... The whole GPS run was like 10 and a half miles.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's seven and a half miles up to get to the narrows.
Yeah, we didn't make it all the way up.
Eight miles up from the river, you've basically cleared the narrows.
Okay.
So it's a 16-mile round trip that day.
Okay.
Okay.
So next time, try getting up there.
It was tough, man. It was all just... small, you know, gravel wash. It was just so hard to walk on. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was not packed at all. So every step, you lost half of your power just moving rocks around. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it was just I think we got back like 3 or an afternoon or something like that. Like I smashed some food and went to sleep and didn't wake up until the morning.
Okay.
I was done. And then we laid over that day in Parashant, and then after Parashant, where we go through,
we went all the way to
222. Yeah. So 222 was the last camp.
Okay.
And then the next day we woke up. What time did we wake up? Like 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were at the Diamond at like
by 8:15.
Yeah, and then we de-rigged the boats, had everything ready. The outfitter was impressed. He was happy with us. We had it easy for him. So
good.
Yeah.
That's handy.
But yeah, that was our trip.
Okay, what would you not do next time, and what are you going to do next time that you didn't do?
Well, I'm definitely going to, I did do it this time, but I'm definitely going to hike Tabernacle again. That Rattlesnake Camp was awesome.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how the cycle of the moon and how it works or whatever, but like watching the moon come up over that horizon line while we're sitting at camp and just the way everything was positioned, it was just an awesome experience.
Nice.
Man, we had a list of things that we were going to, we were talking about some stuff on the raft that we were going to do different this time.
Certain things that I thought I'd do different. There were a few times, and it could be shame on me for the amount of time I've gone out there, but like, for instance, the Parashant hike, when we started that hike at probably 10:30, 11 in the morning.
Ah.
And of course I didn't bring a headlamp. So,
oh.
You know, I have multiple headlamps, and you know, one now just lives in the hiking backpack. So I have my everyday headlamp for camp and then just one in the backpack so that doesn't get forgotten.
Yeah.
We weren't hiking in the dark, but just putting yourself in that position is just, I mean, it's just so silly. There's no need for that.
Right.
Yeah, you just need, that's what I was talking to him about. You just need to get in the habit of, like, wearing your headlamp as jewelry. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like just
yeah.
Have it around your
yep.
neck.
It's your necklace.
Yeah, it's your necklace all the time, and if you need it, it's right there.
Yeah.
So,
good advice.
That's probably the only real, like, major thing that I was really thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Me and James are notorious for leaving our headlamp at camp. we did the Bass Loop one time and, like, hiked back to the miner's camp. And we were coming back on the loop, basically walking down the river
yeah.
from the miner's camp, trying right. to find the trail, and didn't have headlamps. Luckily, we found the trail, but James and I took off in front of the group because we didn't want their light messing with our eyes, so we could see the best we could for what we had, and it happened to be a full moon that night.
Oh, nice.
And so James and I are, like, running out in front of the group trying to get the head on the trail, and then we're out in front of them, and then we look back. Everyone in the group's cut their headlamps off, and we're just all walking out in the middle of the desert.
Oh, nice.
Full moon light. You know what I mean? But it ended up being like, it was a mistake that we made from leaving our headlamps, but it ended up being a cool experience that I would have never had.
Yeah, lovely.
Because I would have just left my headlamp on. You know what I mean?
Yes, very nice.
And so it was cool hiking in the moonlight, full moon, and on the Bass Loop, you know?
Yeah, one of the guys saw us with that, and he said, oh, okay, I guess we're just doing a moonlight hike. That's a great idea. And shut his off.
Nice.
So, but yeah.
Okay, so thinking about closing this up now, what did I not ask you that you wanted to mention?
Man. Yeah, I want to just give a shout-out to everybody that complains about not getting a permit.
Okay.
I understand everybody's life circumstances are a little bit different, but, like, you make the priority the priority. You know, if you really want to go to the Grand Canyon or river trip, you'll go with strangers. You'll go in the wintertime. You'll do whatever it takes to get on the river trip. And a lot of people get hung up on winning their permit because they want to plan their trip of their dreams that they never have the chance to fulfill because they're not going to win a permit. So the best advice I can have for people like that is don't let something perfect get in the way of something good.
Okay.
So just socialize and put yourself out there, and I promise you there's somebody out there to let you tag along on a trip.
Nice.
Let's see. I think the one thing that we didn't really talk about was how we were going to do safety for the way that we were running boats.
Let's spend just a little bit talking about that.
So initially, the way that we were rowing, that we were going to do the river was Adam and Kevin Mather were going to raft. We're going to row the rafts, and then myself and Jonathan Carr were going to kayak. And the way, you know, I've kayaked for a long time, and Carter has kayaked with me too. So the way that we discussed running the safety was we were going to have a raft run in the front, and then two kayaks in the middle, and then a raft in the back.
Okay.
And that way, you know, if a raft flips in the front, we can speed up and catch them. And if a raft flips in the back, we can speed up, and vice versa. But that would put us in proximity to them versus having two rafts in the front, two in the back, you know, just to have people close by. Because we had four people, you know, flipping those bigger rafts, it was something that we thought about, but because we didn't have the weight,
right,
not having the kitchen and all that stuff, that wasn't as big of an issue. But, you know, we had our cam straps, everybody carried whatever gear they needed. As far as the kayak safety, you know, I'm carrying a tow tether on my life jacket in case of the paddler mm-hmm. swims. I can yep. hook up to the boat and pull them to the shore. So, you know, all that stuff we were pretty conscious about.
Cool. And did you flip at all?
I flipped one time when I was seal launching in from the raft into the river, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we've had some good luck with the raft, knock on wood. And
good.
I think the transition from kayaks to the raft is pretty simple. It takes a little bit. You know, say it takes 2 or 3 days on the horse to really kind of get it figured out to where it's, you don't have to think about the stroke you're taking. Does that make sense?
Right, and you bet. It,
you know, once I'm slow, but once I figured out, you know, when you have one oar back and one oar forward, as soon as I figured out in my head whichever hand was forward when I started was which way the nose was going to go on the boat.
Uh-huh.
That's all I needed to know,
cool.
And then I got it. So.
And you guys know how to read water, and that skill is universal. So,
yes,
that we had that actually. I learned how to row on the canyon on a raft. Actually,
cool.
So I showed up out there on that third trip, and I'd hiked in on the Kaibab Trail. So, well, we rode down Horn Creek as a passenger, and the guy said, "All right, man, it's your turn. Try it out."
Cool.
So I spent probably 30 minutes, you know, looking like a baby deer, and there I go. I go run granite, and I don't know, man. It was like something happened in probably like 8 hours of rowing where it was just a light switch, and all of a sudden, like, because it's different than paddling, right? Obviously,
yes.
Paddling a track, and it just clicked. It made sense, and I don't know. It's just second nature at that point.
Cool.
Hey, woman, I'd like to recommend the left line of Crystal more people.
Okay.
Everyone wants to fight over there on the right bank, trying to avoid that hole. Like, you know, just the left line of Crystal goes, and it's good to go. It's beautiful when it lines up right.
Yes.
It just goes.
It's a lovely run when it works.
Yes, that's right.
Speaking from painful experience, yes.
Yeah, left line of Crystal goes.
Split the horns every time.
Yeah, even mm-hmm. if the water's low. Even if the water's low, we had a trip in October of 21,
mm-hmm.
and we had really low water, and we thought it was too low to split the horns. I still think that everyone would have been better off just trying to split the horns and work left, because that right, you know, going right of the horn and trying to work your way left is almost impossible.
You can do it. You got to be good at it, and I would never tell anybody not to do it. If they're thinking about it, but the Steep Creek people have a better game because they do it often.
Yep.
And if you're on it, you're on it. If you're not, good luck.
Well, one of the six rafts made it through.
Okay. One of six.
Without smashing against that rock at the bottom.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
You know.
Well, I think let's, if anything else you got, otherwise let's wrap it up. What do you got?
Nope, that's it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Adam Hopkins and James Tansey, thank you so very much for, I think I'm going to, I was thinking about the name for this V-Way podcast. I'm thinking about self-support rafting.
DIY dirt bag.
Yeah, but that's everybody. That doesn't work. All right, gentlemen, thank you so very much for a wonderful V-Way podcast. That'll conclude February 8th, 2024's podcast, and thank you all for joining us. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Bye-bye.